I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thanks so much for joining us. Our home show, middle show of the work week. Also a quieter night when it comes to the world of sports. And so we're in between the end of week two, the start of week three, and we'll gear up more for week three in the NFL when we hit tomorrow's show. In fact, we're really excited to welcome former NFL quarterback Gus Frerotte. He will join us on our show come Wednesday night into Thursday morning, talking about Lakers and Nuggets game three. We've got Heat and Celtics. I almost said Raptors again. What is, you know, sometimes you get something in your head and it won't come out until it's almost like you have to burn it out. Got to replace it with something. Oh, the worst is when you get a song stuck in your head. And the only way I can get a song to stop replaying in my brain over and over and over is to sing another song, listen to another song so that I can no longer remember the first one. That creates its own problem. Anyway, so we've got Heat, sorry, Miami, and Celtics game four of their Eastern Conference Finals coming up on Wednesday night. We've also got game three of the Stanley Cup Final. And so it's nonstop to the point where, producer Dave, did you know that Tiger Woods was playing in a charity match with Justin Thomas, Justin Rose, and Rory McIlroy on Tuesday? Did you have any idea what was going on?
Let's go with no.
Okay, I actually knew that he was organizing a charity event, but I had no idea it was Tuesday. I don't know if it was televised. I know that it was in Missouri, and it's this course that Tiger designed, so it's his first one that he's ever designed, and it's actually named after Payne Stewart, the former U.S. Open champ who died in the plane crash. But it's yeah, I'm not exactly sure where it is in Missouri, but it's a brand new course, and he wanted to celebrate the opening of the course with this charity event, but I didn't know it was Tuesday. That's how much is going on in sports when Tiger Woods doesn't even make the headlines. So apparently Tiger and Justin Thomas, who is a neighbor of his and also a good friend of his, they beat Rory McIlroy and Justin Rose, and I'm reading this. I did not watch any of it, but McIlroy apparently had three putts that literally sat on the lip of the cups three different times. And so, they still end up winning. Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas ended up winning despite the fact that McIlroy was that close. He had the whole thing surrounded. That's all I know. And it's because I read it, and yeah, great. The sports world is so nutso right now that a lot is going to get lost in the shuffle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. If you want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time, Rocket can. I celebrated the first day of fall by eating Thai food indoors at my favorite restaurant. First time that I have sat down at a table in this restaurant since February. And it was kind of funny. A friend and I, we love this restaurant. So whenever we get together, this is literally where we go. And for the past 7 months, we've been doing takeouts. One of us would go get the food and then come back to my house, which isn't that far away. And we decided that we're going to go. We miss being in this cute little restaurant. And so we got there and they had the outdoor tent set up, and it was a really nice afternoon, and we thought, oh, let's sit outside. And we sit down, and for whatever reason, the place they had the tent felt like it was in a wind tunnel. And so right away, everything started like blowing off the table, the napkins and everything else. And so we ended up going inside. It was kind of great because restaurants in New Jersey are at 25% capacity, which this is a little restaurant. It's actually on the bottom floor of a house that's been converted. And so there were only three tables anyway. Yep. And we were the only ones that were there the whole time. And because they're so busy with takeout, and they had a couple people sitting at the outdoor tables, it took forever for us to get our food, but it was great because we just wanted to sit there and enjoy being indoors at a restaurant. So that's how I celebrated the start of autumn, was to go to a restaurant and eat indoors in New Jersey for the first time since February. And actually, this is really cool. And I know a lot of you around the country, you may feel the same way if you haven't been able to attend church services in person. This coming weekend, my church is finally doing an outdoor service where we're in person and we're together. And it's the first time since early March. And so I'm just really excited about the opportunity to at least be within shouting distance of other brothers and sisters in Christ and to be there at church. And, you know, whether it's mass, whether it's temple, whether it's synagogue, whatever it is, it's a blessing to be with other people who are like mind, and especially after such a long period of time. So it's kind of a cool week. Not only is it the start of autumn and I got to eat indoors at a restaurant in New Jersey for the first time in what feels like forever, but also to be able to go, and I don't think it's supposed to rain, to be able to go and sit outside. It's BYOC, and I have seen this all over the place. Bring your own chair. And also, my church normally serves coffee. They've got this kind of a coffee bar that they have like right outside the main sanctuary. And it's also BYOC, as in bring your own coffee. So I'm really looking forward to that. And for those of you who normally attend church on a regular basis, or maybe you went back recently, I'm sure you understand how I feel. So it's a good week. It's a good week of some cool milestones. Not to mention autumn is my favorite season. So thanks for all of your responses for the favorite things about autumn. And now all of your favorite emojis, or maybe the emojis you use the most. I do speak emoji, and I have been looking at your posts on Twitter and Facebook. Let's see. My top three emojis that I use the most. Certainly the heart. I use the red heart all the time. I use it on Twitter. I use it on Facebook. In fact, I just did use it on Twitter and Facebook in a tweet, in a post that I put up on Wednesday afternoon, because I was telling the story about how it's been 4 months and my neighbors are still stopping me to introduce themselves and how much that means to me. So the heart is definitely my top, among my top three emojis. Let's see. Oh, the crying so hard you're laughing. I mean the laughing, no, not crying so hard you're laughing. Laughing so hard you're crying is also one of my favorites. And every now and then to mix it up, I will do the one where the head is tilted, but it's still laughing so hard you're crying, because I do that a lot. I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I just am an emotional person. So I cry when I'm excited. So that's the second one that I would say is my top three most used emojis. What is my third one? I like the upside down smiley face. I use that one a lot. I use the dog emoji a ton, because whenever I talk about Penny, I use the dog emoji. What else do I use? I do really enjoy the pig nose emoji. That's one of my favorites. So I'll just tell you a little secret about my family. Maybe this is not the way it is in your family. We talk about poop a lot, whether it's us, whether it's our pets, whatever it is. And so whenever we have... I really shouldn't have told you that. Oh my gosh. I hope no one's listening that knows my family. Anyway, we do have those conversations on a pretty regular basis. And I always like to respond with the pig nose. So the pig nose emoji is also one of my favorites. So there, those are among my top three most used emojis. Does that tell you something interesting about me, or is that TMI? Dave, are you an emoji guy? I don't even know this about you.
Not really. That's why I've actually gone to my phone to see the frequently used emoji section in the text messages. And it's really all the ones that I send to my wife.
You only use emojis to pacify your wife? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying it like that. I'm just saying I don't feel any other text messages require emojis. Like my buddies that I text, if we're talking sports or whatever, I don't know. The emoji just doesn't find its way into the conversation.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I use the football, the baseball, the basketball a lot too. So I do use those, but those are work. That's for work. I don't use that in my personal text messages, my personal emoji categories. What about the sticking out your tongue face? That's a good one too to use.
That is a good one. I'm It's not in my frequently used section. It's, you know what it is? My wife sends me a lot of pictures and videos of our son and our, you know, my dog or something that's going on while I'm...
Don't send back the thumbs up.
No, no. So,
so non-committal.
The face with the hearts over the
yes,
eyes.
Yes, I use that one a lot too. You know what else I use? The face with the stars for the eyes. So I use the hearts for the eyes. But you know, that one, you got to be careful who you send it to because it could be misread. But with the stars in the eyes, oh, that one's great. Like when you're excited about something, you're admiring someone, you're proud of someone. Oh, that's got to be in my top three. Maybe I'll replace the pig nose and we can just forget I said the thing about poop. So, you know. Whatever, you have a two-year-old. Are you potty training him or is he good now?
He is all done.
Well, then you guys talk about poop a lot too.
Yeah, that, yeah. The last 6 months for sure. But he's good to go.
I just feel like when you know someone, it's just it's a part of life. So anyway, yeah. What's that book that so many people use for potty training? Everybody Poops. Did you use that for your son?
No, but I've used that line with my older kids. It's like, they even read a book about it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, they like that.
Good. That, yes. I mean, if you can write a book about how everybody poops, I feel like pretty much anything goes. It's all open game. It's open season. And there are many emojis that will describe that state if you need them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So a lot of you are weighing in and sending us your top three emojis that you use. I use the little radio emoji too, though I suspect the majority of people out there don't actually use an old-fashioned radio with an antenna anymore. But I think it's pretty cool. I like the old-fashioned antenna emoji. I use the American flag a bunch too. So that one is frequently in my tweets or in my text messages. Yeah, I honestly, I would say... emojis pop up in probably 80% of my text messages and the number is going up steadily. So I have become an emoji shill. I love emojis. They're very expressive. I'm very expressive and sometimes the words just don't do the trick.
You know what I do like, I'll say, I don't even know what you call these things, but you can find images, you can search them underneath your text and you just, it's almost like searching for a GIF and you type whatever, like if I'm calling everyone down for dinner or something, I'll just search dinner and I'll send them like a dog, you know, rolling down the stairs because someone called dinner, you know,
yeah,
just stuff like that.
My
I like
brother
those.
Does that too. He loves those. He has you're right. They are GIFs. I think they're many, many, many videos and he uses them for everything. So I send emojis. He sends these baby GIFs and my mom and I can't figure out. He's got one for everything. He
you
loves
know,
them.
It's just like a GIF online. You search what you're in the mood for, what you're thinking about, whatever it might be, and it pops up with something usually creative and funny. So
yeah, you know, his favorite one is that, I'm sure you've seen it, that gif of Darth Vader dancing with his lightsaber. Yeah, he loves that one. He sends that all the time. Of course, we're huge Star Wars fans, and so that one I get a lot.
I was gonna say he probably sends that to you all the time.
Oh yeah, sends it to me all the time. I never even knew it existed until my brother started sending it to me. But people use it on Twitter too. All right, so you can send us your top three emojis that pop up more than any other, if you like, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I can't believe we just had an extensive conversation. Amy, see, I need to be using emojis, not words. Deep breath. That's what happens when I talk too fast. An extensive conversation about emojis on a radio show. I don't know if that's ever been done intelligently before, but, you know, we manage. So on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, vote for TD of the Week, and then you can also find us on Facebook, and gosh, our Facebook page is hopping. I mean, some of these emojis I've never even seen before. Like this one, Benny apparently is rolling in the dough. His number one emoji is the smiley face with dollar signs for eyes and a dollar bill, or let's hope it's 100, as his tongue. I've never used that emoji. You want to know why? Because I don't have that kind of money where I have dollar signs for eyes and I can just spit out the money. Yeah, there's no spitting out of the money when you are a radio host. Lots of clown emojis. So there are some people who have a clown phobia. I'm sure there's a technical word for it. There are other people who love clowns. Lots of facepalm emojis too, which we use on an extensive basis here. Also the rolling eyes emoji. Since I do that a lot like in my actual life, I will send back that emoji to people who say stupid stuff. The sunglasses emoji is fun too, though. It's kind of past the season for that, you guys. I've never once used the beer emoji in my entire life. Never once. And yet we've got many beer emojis on our Facebook page. Oh, you know another one that I love? Grinning with your teeth. So a huge grin, like the grin like the Cheshire Cat. I use that one a lot too. In fact, if you follow me on Twitter, you will see that a ton. Did you know there's a taco emoji?
No.
Suzanne says that's her favorite, the taco emoji.
Yeah, I like that.
The skull and crossbones I've never once used either. I mean, who knew there were so many emojis for beer? It's actually more than one.
You know, I get those sent to me from friends, like saying cheers or, you know, whatever. And it, you know, they have the little glass of, like, whatever it may be, scotch or whatever. And then they have the beers clinking together like you're saying cheers.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it works in the socially distant world of, you know, you have a drink on that corner of the world. I have one on that sort of side of the world.
It's just not the same. Denny has the pizza emoji, which is fun. I've not used it very often, but it is a nice treat. Anyway, I speak emoji and I smell what you are stepping in. And so this is good stuff. So on Twitter or Facebook, but while you're there, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We're about 25 minutes away now. That was an entire segment about emojis. Huh. And that's not what we're going to spend the rest of the show on, though. It was highly entertaining. Straight ahead, Adam Silver is already answering questions about next season in the NBA. And I don't know how it's going to work, but he says that they're amending even their, I almost said their emoji plan, even their 2020 plan. They're starting to amend now because what they originally came up with is probably not going to work. So you'll hear from the commissioner of the NBA straight ahead and a new coaching hire in the association.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Kemba, right side of the floor. Tyler Hero watching him. Celtics milking the clock, down to 9 on the shot clock. Kemba, bounce pass for Tatum. Tatum against Adebayo. Right-hand dribble to the free throw line. Bounce pass forced to Marcus Smart. 2 in the shot clock. Smart has to make a play. Falling away in the paint.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
When last we had an extensive discussion about the Boston Celtics, it was following game 2 in which they blew another double-figure lead and Marcus Smart was angry and frustrated and mad and blew up in the post-game locker room after they had fallen into a 2-0 hole, or an 0-2 hole, I should say. And it to me, was a good sign. Not only did they have a pulse and were they frustrated, but they could take all that emotion and they could channel it, you know, once they got on the same page again, because you can't just play 3.5 quarters. You got to be able to close that out. Ask the Denver Nuggets about that. And so the Celtics and the Heat will get back on the court come Wednesday night, and we'll have game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Will the Celtics be able to tie that series? Then we'd be looking at a best of 3. That would be awesome. Or are we talking about the Heat with that athleticism and the balance? They're so well coached, of course. Being able to take a 3-1 lead, which isn't insurmountable, ask the Denver Nuggets, but it does give them a huge leg up. That's Sean Grandy on the Celtics radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Right now, GEICO offers an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what GEICO can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. I've never seen so many emojis in my entire life, so our Facebook page is now bursting with emojis, and there's such a mix. Be careful what you wish for, Amy Lawrence. And also, we're getting your responses on Twitter as well. So in the next couple of minutes, if you want to send your emojis, great. And you can do that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And then while you're there, just drop us one of your suggestions for Ask Amy Anything. So you can ask a question about sports, which we generally don't answer. I'll kind of give you some tips about moving to the front of the line. Dave loves food questions, so I found that he generally tends to gravitate toward food questions, and I love answering food questions. And then questions that we haven't seen before. So a lot of times we're looking for questions that are more outside the box. And it's not that we never answer sports questions, just this is a sports show. So we try to kind of get off the beaten path a little bit. So again, ask Amy anything, not even 15 minutes from now. 855-212-4227. Adam Silver did a wide-ranging interview on CNN in which he talked about this season and why the bubble in Orlando is working and how they've had zero positive tests among players or team personnel, which are considered tier one. He did reveal, which I hadn't heard before, that they've had a couple people who either make deliveries or who have entered the campus to clean, say. Just any type of a service, you've got to come on and off the campus because those people are not sequestered as well. They've had a couple of positive tests among people who've been on and off campus. However, those people never come in contact with the players. That's what separates the players and keeps them safe. I have a friend who is doing the games on the radio, and he's in the bubble. He's doing the national broadcast. He is considered tier two. So the TV and the radio crews are considered tier two, meaning they are, actually, he might even be tier three. They're not tier one, though. And because they're not tier one, there is a barrier. Essentially, the tier one is players and coaches and essential personnel, and they are encased in glass, plexiglass. No one ever comes in contact with them except for other tier one people, meaning that they are protected. They have another layer of insulation there. So even if there are service people who have been on and off campus who have contracted the virus, they're not coming anywhere near the players. And so they've set up very strict protocols, and it's worked in both hoops and in hockey. And, of course, now they're in Edmonton. We're looking ahead to the Major League Baseball postseason where they will be using first, they're going to have three different places where they'll be doing games. And then, of course, they will narrow it and whittle it down to the World Series, which will take place in Arlington. And so, yeah, we're looking at a kind of a pseudo bubble for baseball too, because baseball recognizes how well it's worked for the NHL and the NBA. So kudos to Adam Silver and his whole staff, and of course the teams and the players for complying. But he was also asked on CNN about next season, right? So how do you possibly turn around and get ready for another season in December, especially when we don't know what's going to happen with the virus between now and then? We're only talking about 3 months, and it's still very much a threat in the U.S. as well as across the globe.
My best guess is that even though, as you said, it'll be the 2021 season, that season won't start until 21. We said a week ago or so that the earliest we would start is Christmas of this year, but the more I'm learning, even listening to Dr. Fauci this morning, I continue to believe that we're going to be better off getting into January. The goal for us next season is to play a standard season, to your other part of your question, 82-game season and playoffs. And further, the goal would be to play games in home arenas in front of fans. But there's still a lot that we need to learn in terms of rapid testing, for example. Would that be a means of getting fans into our buildings? Will there be other protections? Some of the things we're learning down in Orlando currently on the campus down there. And also clearly learning a lot from other sports, what baseball is currently doing, what football is doing, sort of as college sports is now, you know, has begun playing.
It's not possible. I'll just say right now, it's not possible. You cannot start the new NBA season after the first of the year, play 82 games and the postseason the way they've drawn it up, and do it safely for the athletes. Because if you are going to do an 82-game season starting in January, and let's just say they start in January, if you're going to do an 82-game season starting in January, you're condensing it, meaning these guys are playing four games in 5 nights. And if you're doing home arenas, you also have to factor in travel. It would be hard enough to do that in a bubble, to have guys play 4 games in 5 nights. That's asking for trouble. Bubble trouble. But if you put them in their home arenas and they have to travel, it's impossible. You cannot play 82 games and still work in the playoffs and be done before the 21-22 season is supposed to tip off. Something's got to give. And I appreciate Adam Silver and the fact that they've already spent so much time and energy thinking about it, and the fact that he cares about the safety and health of the players. And yes, it may turn out that the next season is also unconventional. It may be the case for hockey as well. They may not be able to play 82 games. Of course, they're worried about revenue and lost revenue if they don't play 82 games, but it is not possible. It's not fair to the athletes, and it's not possible to have your cake and eat it all too. You can't play 82 games, you can't be in home arenas, and you can't have a full postseason and not start until after January 1st. That's just not, it's not feasible. Unless you're going to play until October of next year. In my opinion, you shouldn't be planning this far out because things can change so rapidly. And so for now, and I do agree with him, the start date should be pushed back. Maybe Christmas, regardless, who cares? If you're 2 weeks later in the month of January, it doesn't make that big of a difference. But you've got to make some concessions. If you're playing 82 games, you're not playing in home arenas because that's not feasible. It's not logistically possible. So we'll see. Maybe they cut off. I mean, what's the big deal? Well, other than revenue. But maybe they cut off 20 games. Maybe they cut off 25 games. Baseball is odd. I mean, they back themselves into a corner. But they're going through it. They're going to play a third of, well, not a little more than a third of their games. Basketball is going to have to make some concessions because you can't have all of those things if you don't start until after January. But I appreciate Adam Silver. And obviously he said they're looking at the models of other sports and the protocols and the plans. And that was the benefit for the NFL, was to be able to look around and see what all the other sports did and to know what worked and what didn't and how we can accomplish this. Well, now the NBA and the NHL will have the ability to not only take all of their data from the bubbles, but also watch the numbers, talk to medical experts, and then figure out how and when they can start a season that is more conventional. But I don't think it's going to be what we're used to. I don't think that's even possible. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page, last few minutes for you to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Sort of.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
You guys got to remind me, I have a really funny story about Penny. This dog is so freaking stubborn, but so is her mom, and I am determined to win. It's a war. There's a war going on in my house right now, and so I will have to tell you the latest Penny-scapade. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you in advance for your smart, intelligent, creative, original questions. For Ask Amy Anything. We've been doing this for so long now. It's actually spanned, I think, four producers. Yes, four, five, maybe five producers who've been part of Ask Amy Anything. And now the task falls to producer Dave and Dave alone. So if you notice a theme, well, that's Dave because he gets to choose and ask the questions.
That's me. I'm Dave. I like food.
Yes. Well, therein lies the reasoning behind all the food questions.
So let's start with a food question. Jay wants to know, he's not sure if you like fast food, if you eat fast food, but if you do, what's your favorite go-to fast food?
Gosh, I really haven't eaten a lot of fast food in the past few years, but there are a couple that if I'm traveling and I really don't want to stop, I'm with the dog in the car, whatever it is, there are a few that I will do as a go-to. A Wendy's burger, I love. I'll take Wendy's burger. And Wendy's really has, they're probably my favorite fast food restaurant if I have to. I love Quarter Pounders with cheese. I cannot imagine, I really can't even conjure up right now the last time I had a Quarter Pounder from McDonald's, but that used to be my favorite fast food sandwich, and I do think they have great fries. Chick-fil-A is good. I love their chicken sandwiches with the pickles, even if there's no condiments. So that's good, too. What else would be considered fast food? Arby's? I like their, they've got a really good, it's like a mocha shake. So anyway, I don't do a lot of fast food, but every now and then fries and a burger, they're just delicious if you're on the run. So Subway, is Subway considered fast food?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so that's probably the fast food place that I would frequent the most. And I really don't frequent a lot. But I would say once every few months, I'll be jonesing for a oven roasted chicken sandwich with a ton of vegetables or a Subway meatball sub with, you know, vegetables as well. And always a foot long, so you don't even need to ask. Why even bother to buy the sandwich if you're only going to get 6 inches of it? Right?
Amen.
Right.
Moving on. Laura's...
And no, I don't ever save the second half. Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to...
That's okay. Laura wants to know... She knows you're a golfer, and she wants to know, in your entire life, have you ever hit a hole-in-one?
I have not. I've come really close. So I've had birdies. I've had an eagle. I've never in my life had a hole-in-one, though I've come within inches on a par three before. Could you imagine? That would be pretty freaking awesome. And I know there are some people out there, they have multiple holes-in-ones in their holes-in-ones, holes-in-one, holes-in-ones, hole-in-ones. It's like RBI and RBIs, right? However you choose to say it is fine. I know some people who've had more than one ace in their career. Ace is so much simpler. But I've never, I haven't. That'd be amazing, though.
Yeah, I don't have one either.
I have hit buildings with golf drives before.
Me too. This is not ask Dave anything, but I actually hit the Venus and Serena Williams' house with a golf ball when I was 12
years old.
That's
your claim to fame.
That's it right there. So I really like this question. Frank wants to know, if you're doing either play-by-play or, you know, even on a radio show, and you could pick any athlete, current, former, anywhere, to be your either co-host or, say, the color commentator.
My co-host. Wow.
Or a color commentator.
Okay, so my analyst.
Your analyst.
Got it.
Who are you choosing?
That's a great question because I have some athletes that I absolutely love, but I don't think they would make great radio hosts. So like Larry Bird is my all-time favorite athlete, and I think the stories he could tell would be awesome, but I don't think that that would be a great forum for him, long forum on a radio broadcast. You know who would be awesome though? Magic Johnson would have amazing stories, and he's so quirky, goofy and quirky. You never know what you're going to get from him. Michael Jordan, after the way he spoke during the, like, I always thought Michael Jordan was more of like a recluse and didn't want anything to do with the public eye, but he's becoming more and more vocal now. So I think Michael Jordan would be really interesting on a broadcast as well, especially now that he's kind of embraced this role as spokesperson in the NBA. And I would love to ask him about his, you know, his role now as a primary owner in NASCAR. Talking about NASCAR, Tony Stewart, great talker. He would be a really good co-host. Let me think of other sports besides basketball and NASCAR. I would love to say Joe Thornton because he's my favorite hockey player of all time. But again, not a great talker. He doesn't really want to talk. How about Ryan Fitzpatrick? That would be a really interesting interview and a good talker. Plus, he went to Harvard, so we know he's smart. Let's see. If I could think of...
Don't forget about your offensive lineman there.
I do love offensive linemen. Yeah, they're the best talkers. John Elway, I think he would be a good talker, too. He's my favorite quarterback of all time. So, yeah, there's a few. I think a good mix. Unfortunately, I just don't think Larry would be great on the radio, but maybe he'd surprise me. I don't know.
Maybe. We're going to switch gears in a big way.
Andre Agassi, he'd be interesting, too. Think about the stories he could tell.
He's probably got some stories. So, Randy wants to know, would you ever go on a mission to Mars?
No. Hell no. I mean, I've jumped out of an airplane before. I get that that's risky and it's scary and it's daring. But Mars, I mean, we're talking about a whole new level of risk and a whole new level of impact on your body, your physical, mental, emotional body, your health. I mean, the ramifications of traveling outside of our atmosphere. You talk to even astronauts who go and live at the space station. They have health consequences that never go away. And I think that'd be amazing, but it's not something I want to do, to live in outer space for a year or however long. It takes forever to get there, too. It's not like you get there in 5 minutes and you turn around and come back. I mean, we're talking about light years. So, no, I don't want to be that far away from my family, my friends, my dog, sports. No, my life is not perfect. Most of the time, it's a big pile of poo. I mean, not bad, but just it's, you know, there's a lot happening, and it's not easy, but I wouldn't trade it for a solitary life on Mars. That doesn't sound like fun at all.
You can bring your radio and you get reception, and you can bring Penny.
No, hell no. I'm not living by myself. I lived by myself for multiple months during 2020. I did not enjoy it. I miss hugging people. For that reason alone, I'm not going to Mars unless all of you are coming with me.
Let's go.
No, no. We're not created to live on Mars. Otherwise, we would be.
That's a good point. Jennifer wants to know, have you ever participated in an eating competition?
No.
It's a weird one.
I love food, but I can't even watch those things. That I can't. The hot dog eating contest is the most disgusting thing that I've ever seen on TV, and it makes me want to throw up. So no, I cannot. I can't watch it, much less participate in it. Unless you count those things that you do at camp, where like an apple's hanging off a string, and you have to go over and grab it and try to eat the apple while it's swinging back and forth, and it's a competition. Actually, in Cuba, we always do games with the kids, and one year they did bread. Oh my gosh, like you should have seen the way that people were gobbling up this bread on a string, and then it would fall on the ground and they were just eating it off the ground. So yeah, I'm not really big into the eating because I can I have a very quick gag reflex. And so I don't know. I like food. I don't want to ruin the experience by going through an eating contest.
I'm the same way. I like to eat. I don't need to eat 4,000 hot dogs in 12 minutes.
I do eat fast though. I'm always the first one at the table who's done eating, always.
I'm always the last one.
Oh, are you? That's interesting.
And my kids slide their plates across the table and say, here, finish my plate.
Oh, they know you. They love you.
Yes,
they're worried about you starving.
Yeah. Yes. So a better food question. Jeff wants to know, how do you like your steak cooked?
Pink in the middle. Slightly pink. So not a deep pink. Not a rosy pink. Would that be considered medium? Medium rare? It depends on where you go. You always have to ask them. I usually just say pink in the middle.
Yeah, I think you're somewhere between medium and medium rare.
Yeah, probably medium to be on the safe side, but I do not like overcooked food. So I don't like my toast singed or dark. In fact, I will admit that every now and then I've thrown away a piece of toast that I've forgotten was in the toaster and burnt it. I don't like burnt anything. I don't like crispy really much, unless we're talking about crispy calamari. For the most part, I prefer lightly toasted, lightly breaded, and then when it comes to my steak or my burgers, I like them to be a little pink. Not the chicken, mind you. Oh my gosh, I had salmonella when I traveled to Ecuador, my very first missions trip. I got salmonella, and I can't cook chicken myself. I can buy it cooked, I can eat it out, but I cannot look at raw chicken and cook it myself. I can't do it.
That's a tough one.
Mm.
So Vince wants to know if you can go back in time.
Oh, heavens.
Which time travel. Why not? Which sporting event would you wish you could have attended?
These questions are so difficult. Do you know how many sporting events there have been in the history of our planet? And I am not great at history. I tell people all the time, I suck at the history and the trivia because on the spot, I can't remember a lot of these things. A sporting event that I wish I had seen in person. How about Ted Williams' last game where he needed to hit, where he could have sat out and he didn't, and he was trying to hit 400. I guess his last game in the season in which he hit 400 and could have sat out and said, heck no, I'm not, and ended up going. I think he had a couple home runs or at least one home run and ended up hitting over 400 for the season. This is hard. I'm trying to think of a good championship. How about the Ice Bowl? Just because I think that's fascinating. Anything that has a name. Right, so a title for a game. I think the Ice Bowl would have been fun. I adore snow. I think those types of games and the elements are fascinating. So I'll say the Ice Bowl. Okay.
All right.
Super Bowl I, just because you could say you were at Super Bowl I.
Why not?
No, I don't even know what year the Ice Bowl was. 1967.
There you go.
So 1967 NFL championship game. It wasn't a Super Bowl. But you know how much I love Lambeau Field and how much Wisconsin means to my family. So I'll go Ice Bowl.
All right. Very fair.
Okay.
So Mark wants to know if you could pick.
And it was New Year's Eve. I just realized that.
Well, there you go. Even better. If you could pick any car, sports car, anything that you would want to drive around. Not just for a day. Something you want to own.
Oh, okay. So when I was younger, I watched Cannonball Run with my... This is one of the movies that my mom allowed me to watch. It was an adult movie, but I was allowed to watch it. Is that Burt Reynolds, right? I watched Cannonball Run. I wanted a Lamborghini desperately. And now it's silly because, could you imagine me in a Lamborghini? That's not even, ew, I don't, it doesn't even fit me. I've always said my dream car was a Lexus. So a Lexus sports car. Now I'm kind of into the smallish SUVs. So that's what I have. I have a Subaru Forester and I really like it. It was such a great car for my move, Dave. I mean, it's a small SUV, but I could pack a lot of stuff in there. And so I really do like Lexus. I can't even fathom buying a Lexus, but at some point in my life when I've made it, maybe when I've retired and I want to invest a little money in a nice car. But you know what? Driving into New York City 5 nights a week, I don't think it's a smart investment to buy a really nice car. Do you know how many times I've been hit or sideswiped? How many times I've come out of the building in the morning and I've noticed that there's either someone who's like kissing my bumper or I'm sure has left a dent in my door. So it's really not a good idea to have a nice car. So that will never happen as long as I'm commuting into Manhattan.
So we have one more.
Okay.
Debbie wants to know, you know, she says, you know, like you like to cook. Do you have a go-to recipe for the fall since we're talking about autumn?
Is this her sideways question to get my chili recipe?
I think so.
Oh, okay. I make pumpkin s'mores. So my favorite treat in the fall is pumpkin s'mores. And it may sound odd, but don't knock until you try it. Dave's actually tried
They're
it.
Delicious.
They're really good. People think pumpkin is sweet. It's not. Pumpkin is not a sweet flavor. You have to add the sugar to it. And so it's actually, it's really good. I make this spicy pumpkin corn chowder with bacon. Awesome. And it's pumpkin is the base. So that one I would recommend. It's also great for s'mores. So it just gives kind of a different taste, a different texture to the s'mores. And yes, the chili. I'll share the recipe. It's on my blog. Thank you for asking.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.